Excellent. Well, again, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And today, as we come together, we have something really special planned. Today's a really special day for us because every year we set aside one Sunday for what we call child dedication or baby dedication. And today we have several families who have come to dedicate their little ones. Now I realize that as we walk through this, for some of you, this is the first time that you've ever experienced something like this. And so I want for you to be able to understand what it is that we're walking through and what this is all about. Because the commitments that these families are going to be making are incredibly significant. And I think they not only speak to these families' lives, but they speak to every single one of us. For the past couple of weeks, we've been walking through this conversation, thriving in transition, and looking at, okay, how do we, as we move through the transition ahead of us, and all of us are in transition right now, every single one of us, how do we move through that in such a way where we thrive, where we're able to build the life that God has called us to build as we follow him, as we serve him, as we engage this story and this mission. And I think as we walk through these commitments that these speak powerfully to that and what it is that we're building and what our priority needs to be, where our focus needs to be, if you will, as we move through this moment. And so what I want to do is I just want to walk through each of these commitments and then we're going to break them down a little bit and talk specifically about, okay, what does that mean? What does that mean for this moment? What does that mean for this time and this transition. So as we jump into it, let me start with the first commitment that we're going to be asking for these families to make. And that first commitment is this. It says, do you commit to raise your child as God's, understanding that they are a special gift you have been given and not yours? Do you commit to recognize that the little one that you have is his, that God loves your child more than you do, that God knows your child better than you do, that God has a better plan for your child than you do? And as parents, this can be really difficult because we have great plans for our kids. But we have to recognize something, and this is important for all of us to recognize, that God didn't just randomly put you into this story, that God has a plan, that God has a plan for you. As God's speaking to the nation of Israel, he says something remarkable to them. You see it in Jeremiah 29. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And you look at this passage, and the reality is that as God steps into our lives, this is true for each and every one of us. What he shares with the nation of Israel is true for you as well. He has a plan for you. You were created on purpose for a purpose. And this isn't just true for you. This is true for the people around us. And this is really important because a big part of making this commitment as a parent is saying, okay, when it comes to the little ones that God has entrusted me with, I'm not going to try to get them to follow my plan. I'm going to try to introduce them to his plan. And as we journey together, all of us have the opportunity to do that in one another's lives. And as we're engaging with one another about this journey, the question that this commitment brings to the forefront is this. Okay, whose plan are you pointing people to? As you interact with your friends, as you give advice, whose plan are you pointing them to? Whose wisdom are you directing them to? Are you just sharing your wisdom? Or are you directing them to God's wisdom? And for those of you who are watching, who are working through, okay, can I trust God? What is this whole relationship with God about? It's important for you to know that as God steps into our life, he gave his son so that we could, not just so that we could be forgiven, but so that we could be adopted into his family. This whole thing from the very beginning has been about family. And God wants for you to be part of his family. And as he steps into our lives, he steps in as a father, and very much the way that a father would take the hand of their child, he steps into our life and says, listen, let me show you how to engage this journey in a way in which you live life to the fullest, this way that Jesus says it, where you, rather than bringing destruction, you bring love. Rather than bringing hurt, you bring life. And our Father has come alongside of us. He said, I want to instruct you in this. And the invitation of Jesus is an invitation into a family and a relationship with a Father who leads and guides us in that way. And one of the amazing things that we get to do in one another's lives is that we get to point each other to that. But that means one, what we've been talking about needs to be a priority because if we're going to instruct people, point people to God's wisdom, we have to be close to Him. We have to be consistently engaged in that conversation. We've been talking about this with rhythms. Just being in that conversation with Him day in and day out. I have to remind myself of this all the time because as I'm in conversations with people and we're working through whatever's happening in their life, it's really tempting for me to give them my wisdom, to talk about what I think about the situation. And one of the things that one of my mentors taught me years ago was the practice of praying in the midst of conversation. So my staff always gives me a hard time because I'm usually very slow to respond. And I've talked about this even over the past couple of weeks, how one of the key principles in my life is be slow to speak and quick to listen. And my staff, they actually bought me a sign that sits in my office that says, I'm not ignoring you, I'm just thinking. And the reality is that I'm not just thinking. Oftentimes I'm also engaged in a conversation with God to say, okay, here's the thing. You shouldn't really be all that interested in what I have to say. And as I'm in the midst of that conversation, it doesn't really matter what I think about the situation. What matters is, okay, God, what do you want to say to this person in this moment? How do you want to speak in this moment? What's your plan for this person? And sometimes that aligns with what I'm thinking, but then there are other times I've been in the midst of that conversation with God, and God has just said, you know, I want for you right now to just reinforce this. I remember being in a conversation with someone, and they were working through this whole thing. It didn't really have anything to do with their relationship with God. And as I was listening, as I was just in prayer, working through, okay, God, what do you want to say into this moment? I just felt God just nudging me with just, I want for you to reinforce. I just want for you to tell them I love them. I just want, just drive it home. I just want you to know God is so passionate about you right now. And I remember they stopped talking, and they asked me a question, and they were really looking for, okay, well, what's the next step? What do I do? And I said, I looked back at them, and I said, I just want you to know, I just feel like God wants for you to know right now that He loves you so much. And I couldn't believe it. They just started weeping. And it was this breakthrough moment in the conversation, but it didn't have anything to do with my wisdom. Didn't have anything to do with my plan. It was His plan. And what we're committing to here is, no, this isn't about me figuring this out or how I'm going to be able to help my friends figure this out. No, this is about how I'm going to be able to point people to God's plan. And I want for you to know, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, God wants for you to experience this. With Him, He wants for you to experience this inside of community. That as we step into one another's lives, we get to share the plan that He has and help people find that plan. As parents, we get to do this in the lives of our kids. Not for them to grow up following us, but for them to grow up following Him. And as you're in the midst of conversation, who's the hero? Is it you? And look at the wisdom that I get to bring to this. Look at the answer that I get to bring to. Or is it Him? Is it Him? Even as we move through transition, as you heard in the interview last week, if you got a chance to hear it, the interview that I had with George Floyd's pastor from Houston, hopefully you had a chance to listen to it. If you didn't, I highly encourage you to go back and listen to it. It was powerful in my life. And as you hear him talk, he's He's talking about how in this moment we have so many opportunities to be able to point people to God's plan. And we can step into it and share our opinion and all of, but that's not going to lead to life. How do we point people to his plan and the reality of what he wants to bring into their life, the reality of what he wants to do in their life? And this commitment is, no, this isn't going to be about what I think. This isn't going to be about my wisdom. This isn't about you following me. This is about helping people follow him. And God wants for you to experience that. And he wants for us to do that for one another. The second commitment is this. Do you commit to teaching and training your child to depend on him, to depend on God, by putting your relationship with God first, putting your marriage second, and putting your child third? Now, this has everything to do with priority. And as families, one of the things that's really important is that as we interact with our little ones, to be able to teach them priority. And here's the thing, priority is not taught with what we say, priority is demonstrated, it's caught. And as our little ones watch us, they're watching for, okay, what is really important in this person's life? We've actually talked about this a lot this past week, Anthony and I, in our morning conversations, as we've been reading through and working through our Bible reading plan and just talking about priority. And specifically something that we talked about last week of this idea of, okay, will I allow God to interrupt my life? Will I allow God to interrupt my day? Or does he get pushed to the side and I'll, you know, I have that time that I spend with you over here, so don't interrupt this part. Don't interrupt this moment. No. Or does he have free range to interrupt at any time? Priority is, it's demonstrated, it's not taught. One of the things that my wife and I do is that during the workday, we have a system. If my wife calls me once, and it's only once, then I know that there's something that she wants to share with me, but it's not urgent. If, however, my wife calls me twice in a row, I will leave whatever meeting I'm in, whatever conversation I'm in, to call her back. Why? That's her communicating to me, no, something important is happening. And here's the thing, my wife gets priority. And I don't just want for my kids to see this. I want for my staff to see this. I want for the people around me to see this. And I want for her to know that she gets priority. And the way in which I live my life, well, it demonstrates that. And Anthony and I have been talking about for the past week, well, how do we communicate that to the people around us? Listen, as we move through this transition, the people around you are watching. And they're going to see what's important and what isn't. They're going to see what gets priority. And as we walk through this and look at establishing rhythms and things like this, these are phenomenal opportunities for you to communicate priority. And as we build those things in and give them priority, in other words, they don't get interrupted by other things. There aren't other things that can push them to the side. No, he gets priority. Well, that communicates something about who he is and the incredible relationship that we get to have with him. But one of the things that I've really enjoyed is that for the past, I guess, couple months now, one of my friends and I, we've just made the commitment that every Sunday night we spend about 2 hours together. And it's been over Zoom. This past week we were actually able to be together in person, I guess 2 weeks ago now. We were able to actually be together in person. And as we've walked through this, we've decided, no, we're gonna prioritize this. And we're gonna communicate the reality that no, this relationship is important. As we move through transition, how are you communicating priority? How are you communicating priority when it comes to your relationship with God? How are you communicating priority when it comes to the other relationships in your life? One of the things that I know is that as we move through this transition, it's been interesting. As we've gone through this moment, our groups have actually grown. our dinner groups have gotten larger. More people are attending groups now than when this began, which is amazing and has not been the case at churches around the country. But we've seen that more and more people are getting connected. What I'm worried about is that as we move through this transition, that relationship isn't going to be prioritized. And the busyness of life and all that's happening and getting back to work and all of this, that we're going to push that relationship to the side. And all of a sudden, well, I'm not really sure if I can make it for group. I'm not really sure if I can make that priority. I'm not really sure. All of those things where they communicate priority. And it's really important as we move through this. It's really important that we prioritize what's actually important. We prioritize those things that actually matter. And let me just speak to this for a second, because here's the thing. As we go through this, and as we step into whatever's next, even in the midst of transition, the busyness of transition, which we've been talking about, you're going to have to decide where you're going to fail. A couple of years ago, I did a conversation here at Hoboken Grace called Failing Like Jesus. I highly encourage you, if you can, go back on our website and listen to it. Some of you are like, whoa, 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 whoa. What in the world are you talking about, Chris? Failing like Jesus? Jesus didn't fail. No, I'm not talking about whether or not he actually failed, because he absolutely didn't. But what I am saying is this. When you look at the relationships in Jesus' life, when you look at all the expectations that were put on him of what was going to happen and what he was going to accomplish, in so many ways, he failed those expectations. His disciples thought he was going to overthrow Rome. They were incredibly disappointed that he didn't. And they looked at that, and when they saw what's happening, it seemed like a failure. Jesus' family was frustrated with him because of the fact that he didn't give them priority the way that they thought that he should, and felt like he failed them in that way. There are all these different situations where people were disappointed with him because Jesus, as he moved through this journey, he was constantly engaged in a conversation with God, saying, okay, God, what is it that I need to prioritize? As a matter of fact, at one point, Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what he tells me to say. I only go where he tells me to go. Because I can't figure out the plan. He knows the plan. And I'm following him in that and prioritizing the things that really matter. And as we move through this, it's so important that we do the very same thing, that we prioritize those things that matter, those things that God has called us into, and that we're able to communicate that. We're able to communicate that to the world around us as we live that out. The next commitment is this. Do you commit to creating a safe place for your child to meet Christ by being humble and growing in Christ yourselves, by welcoming rebuke when you are wrong, by being the same people in public that you are at home? In other words, are you willing to be vulnerable in your relationships? One of the great flaws inside the church that we can so easily fall into is believing that people need to see perfect people. People don't need to see perfect people. Your kids don't need to see a perfect person. What they need to see, because a perfect person is no example to them at all. They know they're not perfect. What kind of example is that to me? I can't be that. I can't even begin to strive for that. What people need to see is grace. What people need to see is people experiencing grace, which means that you have to be humble and willing to grow. You have to be honest. You have to be vulnerable about what it is that you're working through and the things that you struggle with. And these parents are making commitment to do just that. Not to hide who they are, but to be honest about who they are. This past week, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, Beatrice. We're going to bring that conversation to you. And we were talking through racial reconciliation and some of her experiences growing up in Chicago and what she experienced and what I experienced in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and some of those moments and situations. And it was a powerful conversation as we talked about what it looks like to be vulnerable with each other about what it is that we've gone through, about our wounds, about what healing requires. None of that happens if we're not willing to be honest. If we're not willing to be honest about not just what happened, but how that actually impacted us, how that impacted our heart. And these parents are saying, no, I'm going to allow my kids to see me experience grace, to experience the reality of God's forgiveness. And again, for those of you who are struggling through this and working through, can I trust God? I know some of you have been told that God wants for you to be a perfect person, that if you can't be a perfect person, God doesn't want anything to do with you. That's not at all the message of Jesus. And God has unbelievable grace for you that he wants for you to experience. And he doesn't need you to come to him with some facade. He invites you to come to him as you are. And he wants to speak that grace and forgiveness into your soul. But that means that we have to be vulnerable with one another. And here's the really good news about this one in particular. You get so many chances for this, because here's what I know about you and about me. I'm screwed up. You're screwed up. So you have chances to do this almost every day. Almost every day. I had a conversation with my son just this last night, because we were working through some things, and my boys aren't the best at staying focused. Focus isn't what I would call a strength in their life, especially when they're around one another. I don't know why I didn't pay attention to this. My grandfather used to say, because I grew up on a farm, and he would take us out to work with him, and he used to say, one boy helping is one boy's worth of work. Two boys helping is half a boy's worth of work. Three boys helping is no help at all. And then I went out and had three boys, which means I get no help at all, because they're constantly, not only do they lack focus, but then they're constantly distracting each other from focus. And so when one of them is focused, the other one's attacking that one. And last night, as we were working through some things, they were completely unfocused. And I was having to call them back to that, and there's discipline and all this going on. And to be honest with you, I got pretty upset in the midst of it. And I remember coming to the end of it, and my oldest said, Dad, can we just go sit down on the deck and have some not frustrated time? And I looked at him, I said, man, bud, I'm sorry. Because the discipline's necessary, but the way that I felt about it wasn't. And to be honest in those conversations, to be honest with each other about that, it's amazing how in our culture today, because of the fact that we're so quick to speak, so slow, so against listening, it's amazing how we've lost the ability to be vulnerable. And it takes a lot of trust to be vulnerable. But God says, no, I want for you to trust me and love them. I want for you to be honest about what it is that you're going through. Not just the good things, but the difficult things. Not just the wins, but the losses. Because that's when people get to see Jesus. And what our kids need to see is not us as the hero. What our kids need to see is him as the hero. And so as we walk through this, these are the commitments that we're going to be asking these families to make as it pertains to these little ones. But as you see, these commitments, they speak to every one of us, whether you're a parent or not. They speak to how we engage what's ahead of us, how we love one another, how we take care of one another, how we are a family together. And then as these families make these commitments, we're actually going to ask you to make a commitment as well. We didn't just invite you here, and we're not coming together here for you to just be an observer of this. We actually want for you to be a participant in it. We want for you to be part of this commitment as well. Because as they make these commitments to us, we as a church are going to make a commitment back to them. That commitment is this. Hoboken Grace commits to create a safe church family by joining together to fight gossip and broken relationships in our church family. In other words, we're going to be honest with one another, and when something's wrong, we're going to actually speak to that person. We're not going to go talk to everybody else about it. We're going to actually speak to that person. There's nothing that will destroy us faster than gossip. And the reality is that there's going to be broken relationships. Why? Because as we said earlier, there's no perfect people. If you're looking for a church with perfect people, keep looking. This isn't it. It's not it. It's not going to be us. If you're looking for a church where there are no broken relationships, this isn't it. And what you're going to end up with if you keep looking for that is a church of one. It will be you. And the reality is you kind of break your own relationship from time to time. There's going to be broken relationships, but we're going to be able to engage those conversations and to work through that and to love one another in it and trust one another in it. And we're making a commitment as a church family to do just that by admonishing each other when we're wrong, by welcoming rebuke when we're wrong as a church. Not just that we do that as individuals, but that we do that collectively. And that we acknowledge that collectively by showing the authentic love Christ has for each of these children. Now, I just want to speak to this for just a second, because this is actually a big part of what's driving something that's taken place here at Hoboken Grace called the Home Initiative. Now, some of you have come into Hoboken Grace over the last couple of months, and you might not know what it is that we're talking about. I highly encourage you to go to our website and click on the Home Initiative. It's on the top menu bar, or you can just go to thehomeinitiative.com, and you can learn all about this. One of the things that we as a church family committed to as we walked into this year was not just experiencing our home in God, but creating home for others. And a big driver in that is this commitment that we've been making for years to be able to create space for these little ones to be able to experience Christ, to know how he loves them. And as we continue to grow as a church, and as these little ones are getting older, we realize that, man, it's so important for us to establish space specifically for our teens and those who are a part of our high school ministry, our growing, quickly growing high school ministry, which is driving this home initiative where we're looking, how do we establish a space that's going to allow us to do that, allow us to serve our community, help them to find home in him, but then also for these little ones that we're making this commitment to make sure that there's always a space for them and for their friends to find home as well. And as we step into this, I just want to bring us back to that, because this is the commitment that we're making as we commit to these little ones. It's pretty powerful. It's actually remarkably powerful what it is that God has brought us into in his family. The way that we get to care for one another, the way that we get to speak into one another's lives, the way that we get to be a community together. And one of the things that I love about this day every year is that it draws our focus back to that, that this isn't just about these individual families. This is about our family. This is about how we get to be family together. And the powerful family that unites us, no matter what our background is, no matter what our race is, no matter what, the powerful family that unites us, and the Father who adopted us. And so after these families make those commitments, I'm going to ask you to make that commitment. If you're at live.hobokengrace.com, you're going to be able to make that commitment in the chat. And I'm just going to have you type in, I do, just, and all of us will just together make that commitment. If you're watching on the app, you can just do it vocally right where you are. Because ultimately, it's not just a commitment between us, it's a commitment between us and God of how we're going to love each other and how we're going to love these little ones.